I'd like to welcome everyone out to service this morning, and we welcome anyone who's visiting with us this morning. We also welcome as our preacher today the Reverend Alan Smiley. Reverend Smiley has recently retired from the ministry in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. The evening service at 7 p.m. preceded by time of prayer from 6:30, and the Reverend Omrod will be back to take that meeting. Tomorrow, Monday night, is the children's meeting at 7 p.m. and on Wednesday, the prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 p.m. with the Reverend Omrod. And the Youth Fellowship are travelling to Oma on Friday night to take that meeting at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday School at 10:30 and the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7 with the Reverend Omrod taking those. The harvest offering last weekend came to £824.45. And we thank all who gave to that offering. And Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church are holding a special gospel meeting mission this week from Monday to Thursday at 8 p.m. with various preachers. And as a congregation, we wish to express our sympathy to Mrs. Audrey Mooney and the wider Gibson family on the loss of their uncle Tom Gibson at last Sunday morning. And we also want to extend our sympathy to Mr. Gareth Jones and his family circle on the passing of his uncle, Robert White, on Thursday night.
Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the time of worship and a meeting around your word. We pray that you will bless us. We pray that you'll do us good. We pray that we will know a sense of the Lord's presence and the Lord's nearness and the Lord's power, even in this place today. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Returning to the Psalm 100, the first version, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise foretell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The page 91 will stand as we worship the Lord together. Let us all pray. Our eternal God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee, O God, for access to the throne of grace. We thank thee, O God, for the veil that has been rent in twain from top to bottom. And we thank thee for this abundant entrance that we have into the very presence of God, to seek thy face and to call upon thy name this morning. Thou hast told us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we come with boldness this morning, and yet we come with reverence. And Lord, we come with adoration of thy holy and blessed and most wonderful name. And we seek thee, Lord, for thy presence and thy power, even in this service today. We pray that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit, that thou wilt meet with us, and that thou wilt bless us. And we pray, Father, that we might know thy presence and thy nearness. And Lord, that we might know thy help as we gather together around thy feet. We pray that thou wilt encourage our hearts in the things of grace. We live in a world, O God, of much discouragement. Many things around us that distress us. Many things around us that cause us, Lord, to be downhearted. But we thank thee, our God and Father. We look to a God who is in control of all things, and a God who is above all, and who doeth all things well. And so we seek your face this morning. We pray for your presence here in this house where thy people have gathered together. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, that thou wilt work in every life. And, O God, that thou wilt do something even here today for the praise and for the honor and for the glory of thy name. We pray, O God, that thou wilt work to the salvation, even of precious souls. If there be one here this morning without Christ, or listening to this service without the Savior, we pray that, O God, that by thy Spirit thou wilt draw them unto thyself. We thank thee that salvation is of the Lord. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt work that work of salvation in hearts and lives. We pray, Father, for thy servant who ministers here. We thank thee for him, and we pray that thou wilt take him up and use him today, even amongst the young people who have gone on this youth weekend. And we pray, Father, that the blessing of God will be upon each one, and grant that thy presence will be among them, and that thy hand will be upon them for good. We pray, our Father and our God, that you'd remember, O God, those in the congregation who have suffered loss too, and in the family circles. We pray for comfort and for grace and for help, even at this time of bereavement and loss. Father, we do think of that family even we were called to yesterday. A young man just 54 and called out into eternity. We pray, our God, that you would comfort that family even at this time. Remember them, O God, and we pray for those who know not Christ, that even in the midst of their loss, they may find the Savior. Remember the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank thee for it. Thank you for raising it. It's not perfect, but we thank thee, O God, for raising it even in this end time. Bless our congregation. We pray that you'll bless our ministers, bless our students and those who labor in our pulpits today. Pray that thou wilt help them and bless them, anoint them with power in the preaching of your word. Move across our land, everywhere the faithful word is preached, across our land, across our island, across the nation, across the world. Pour out your Spirit. Do a new thing, Lord, in these days. We think of, Lord, the seats of power even across our nation, the derision that there is, the confusion, the chaos. But Lord, we know that thou art God in heaven, and thou art the one who doest all things well. We leave all these matters in thy hands. Pray for our royal household, that thou wilt turn them to thee, we pray. Grant that their hearts, even as they still reflect upon their loss, we pray that their hearts will be turned to thee. At this time, hear us now, we pray, and bless us with thy presence. We ask it in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together the word of God this morning from
The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And reading together from this portion of God's word. Isaiah chapter 40, and reading from verse 15. Let us hear the word of God this morning. Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no embrasion, and chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. Hath bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Hymn number 408. We'll turn to this hymn together. And let's sing it unto the Lord. 408. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Saviour, so precious thou art. We'll stand as we sing together.
I'd like to thank our brother for the words of welcome this morning. It's a joy to be with you. I really can't remember the last time I was in Six Mile Cross. It's a long, long time ago. And anyway, I did find my way here. Nearer I got to Oma, I was beginning to panic a little bit, but then saw the signpost and got here in good time. As our brother said, I've just recently retired from active ministry. I don't know about the active bit, because I've been, I think, more active even since I retired than I was when I was in the ministry, certainly as active. And I'm in charge of Carrickfergus, which is a vacant church, and I live in Lisburn, so I'm travelling down there to look after them and hopefully soon get them a minister. But I do pray for us and pray for the church in Ballygowan there. I retired on September the 4th and pray that the Lord will supply a new minister there and for all our vacant churches. We pray the same. But it's good to be with you today, and we trust that God will meet with us and God will bless us around his word as we consider his truth this morning. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we turn to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power, thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find the text this morning in the 40th chapter of Isaiah in the verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And surely we cannot read this wonderful chapter of God's word without thinking about the greatness of God. So many verses in this chapter, we marvel at God's greatness and God's position. The one who sitteth upon the circle of the earth, verse 22. The creator of the ends of the earth, verse 28. And what a position he occupies. And when we think about all that's happening in this world of ours today, surely we rejoice that God is upon the throne, that God occupies the position he occupies, and he is in control of all things. And then, of course, we think of his power. Think of the words at the end of verse 9, behold your God. Again, verse 10, behold the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And you see the use of the term behold in relation to the Lord twice used in this verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 40. And of course, we discover also that he is the one that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, verse 22. Again, verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And these are but examples of the words that are used to describe the almighty power of God, the omnipotent power, as revealed to us in Scripture. He is the all-powerful God. His power displayed and demonstrated in so many ways, in creation, in the various facets of it. How marvelous this is. And we look out on our world and see what God hath created, we are filled with wonder this morning. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But of course, his power comes down to you and me. We are not left out this morning.
The Bible tells us in Psalm 40 and verse 17, the Lord thinketh upon me. Isn't that wonderful this morning? That the Lord thinketh upon you and me as individuals. We are in his thoughts. Even to such an extent that he seeks to help us in our situation of life. Look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. How good it is to have physical strength. But in any form, it will spend itself in a period of time. Mental strength is a noble possession, but it also feels its owner. For at best, it is a finite power. So far as even spiritual strength is of man himself, so far as you can conceive of it apart from the immediate operation of the Holy Spirit, it cannot be depended upon. The most devout person may grow lukewarm. The strongest believer may doubt. The most sanctified may backslide. It is a heavenly strength, but so far as it is transfused into our humanity, becomes part of ourselves, it also may wax weak. But thank God it can never utterly die. What is the answer to our weakness? What is the answer to our frailty? What is the answer to our faltering? To our many feelings? To the many times that we fall. We are so prone to these things in the course of our lives. God's answer to our weakness is found in the words of our text this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so we look at these words this morning, God's answer to our weakness. First of all, the answer is that of supplication. They that wait upon the Lord. The church of Christ has become weak through lack of prayer. And in many instances, prayerlessness has overtaken the church. We may be strong even in so many other ways, and yet weak in prayer. And nothing else can compensate for our weakness in prayer. The Lord recognized this weakness in those disciples who were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember he said there, Matthew 26:41, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weakness in the place of prayer. And even those who were closest to the Lord Jesus through his earthly ministry, they had this weakness. Peter and James and John, they were closest to the Lord on this occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane, and yet they were weak in prayer. And those disciples were challenged by the words of Christ. He said, tarry ye here and watch with me. And again, the Bible says, he found them sleeping. He said this, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Yet again, the words that he spoke to them were these, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. You'll find those words there in Matthew chapter 26. Verses 38 and 40 and 41. There was weakness in the place of prayer. And we all have that weakness this morning. We all have that weakness. Was there not this weakness in the church at Ephesus? In that they left their first love? Oh, they had many commendable things. Many commendable things. And yet they were weak. They had left their first love. You think of the church at Laodicea. The Bible tells us of them in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. They were lukewarm. And the Lord said, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. There was weakness. Is it not so with us today? You think of the weakness of Samson. He struck terror into the enemies of God. He reaped havoc amongst them. And yet, he was weak. And he was left weak. As other men, he lost his strength. He awoke and said, I will awake and shake myself. But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And you know, as you read about Samson in the book of Judges there, we don't read that Samson prayed through all that time. It wasn't until the end of his days, in his great distress, as he was grinding in the prison house, he had lost his sight, and in his desperation, the Bible tells us in Judges 16:28, he cried unto the Lord for the Lord to remember him. And the Lord did remember him. And of course, you will know he slew more in his death than he did in his life. The cure for weakness in our lives as believers and in the life of the church is waiting upon the Lord. The Bible says in our text, they that wait upon the Lord. The Bible tells us he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. How the disciples benefited being on that mountain to pray in the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible tells us that they were there in the attitude of prayer. It was a means of dealing with their weakness. The church in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, conscious of their weakness, and they waited upon the Lord. You read through Acts 1, where they were in the upper room. You read through Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. You read into Acts 4, where they prayed and the place was shaken, where they were gathered together. You read into Acts 12, where the church were met together for prayer. Many other portions in the Acts of the Apostles reveal to us how the church, the body of believers, met together for prayer. Are we not conscious of our weakness this morning? Many times have we fainted. Neglect of prayer is common in the homes of the Lord's people. The family altar in many instances has been broken down. And that altar of prayer, men and women, needs to be repaired. But it also needs to be repaired in our churches. They that wait upon the Lord. And when we think about waiting this morning, we're drawn to consider patience. You see, waiting involves patience. Some of us haven't a great lot of patience. But Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, had a lot of patience. He was on his knees in prayer. He was waiting before the Lord. And all that time, his servant was coming and going. He said to him, look toward the sea. And he went back and forward. Go again 7 times, he said. And all that time, he was waiting. And all that time, he was on his knees before God. And there was nothing. But Elijah waited. And God answered, of course. You know the story of how God sent the great rain. There was a sound of abundance of rain, and there was the great rain. God requires us this morning to exercise patience in prayer. Oftentimes we'll offer one or two prayers or maybe get a few times to the prayer meeting, but there's no patience. No patience. They that wait upon the Lord. But then, of course, it demands not only patience, but persistence. You see, waiting involves asking. It involves seeking and knocking. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The spirit of importunity is required. Luke chapter 11 says, all men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, rather, verse 1. How we need to pray with that spirit of importunity. And the Lord relates the parable of the woman who has persistency. Luke 18 and 5. Because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? This persistence, this importunity. You think of Jacob and his persistency, Genesis chapter 32, wrestling until the break of day. May God help us to so wait upon the Lord in prayer with a patience that never dies, with a persistency that never wanes. And so there's patience and there's persistency, but then there's pleading. You see, waiting upon the Lord involves pleading with the Lord. Have you been pleading with the Lord in prayer? Jacob pleaded, Genesis 32, 26, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. What pleading was involved in this? In the heart of Jacob? Are you pleading this morning before the Lord in prayer? May God give us that spirit. You see, throughout the book of Psalms, the pleadings of David. In times of great weakness, when it seemed his strength had gone from him, never to return, he waited upon the Lord. Psalm 27 is a wonderful psalm, a great example of that, of course. Waiting upon the Lord in the time of trouble. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You're in a time of trouble in your life. You're in a time of turbulence in your life. You're in a time of trauma in your life. You're in the midst of tears in your life. And how you need to plead with God. And whatever our circumstances this morning, we need to plead with God in prayer. The exhortation at the end of Psalm 27, verse 14 is this: wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But the greatest example of one who waited upon the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great example in relation to prayer. He's the supreme example. Think of the Savior in the garden. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. In the garden. In Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus Christ pleaded with the Father. Three occasions. You read how he pleaded with the Father. And then, of course, when he got to Golgotha, he pleaded, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The pleading of the Savior from the cross. And on many other occasions, he lifted his heart to his Father. You can see the occasions in Scripture where Jesus pleaded with the Father. And if the Son of God pleaded with the Father in heaven and waited before the Father, and he did, how much more do you and I need to wait before him in prayer? They that wait upon the Lord. Supplication. That's the first thing. The second thing is strength. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We are very human, all of us. And we need our strength renewed. Even those saints that wait upon God for everything may grow faint and require reviving. The best and bravest of saints are poor creatures. I often think about the example of Elijah. He had seen the fire come down from heaven and answer to prayer. He had seen the prophets of Baal overthrown. He had seen the rain come again down and God answered prayer. Here we have a hero among the Israelites, a champion. But look, within 24 hours, he's afraid of Jezebel. And soon he's asking in 1 Kings 19, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And having been on the mountaintop, he's now in the valley. And maybe you can identify with Elijah. Maybe you've had mountaintop experiences in your life, but this morning finds you in the valley. Finds you in the valley. You're down in the dumps. And you know, you could point the finger at Elijah and say, why on earth did he find himself in such a situation? But here we have a man who is exhausted, having been involved in so much. He suffers a reaction. He feels faint, as we all do at times. He's down in the dumps. He's in a bad place. And there are many Christians today, and maybe you're among them, who are in a bad place. With discouragement, with depression, downhearted, defeated. I talk to ministers all the time who are defeated, who are discouraged, who are depressed. And maybe you're just the same this morning. And this world can be a very depressing place, and is a very depressing place. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're not only human, but we're imperfect. The sin that is within us drags us down. Our natural corruption and imperfection, infirmity of the flesh, is still within us. And these bring us down till we say with David, I am this day weak, though anointed king. That's what David said. And there are many examples in David's life of that weakness. And what a blessing it is this morning for the failing, flagging, fainting spirits of believers to know that we can wait upon the Lord and we can renew our strength. Even those who actually fall can be recovered. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's what Scripture says. Brethren and sisters, this morning, no doubt I am addressing somebody here, or somebody listening, who has become weak and failing. You must renew your strength. It must be renewed, or otherwise you will decline still further. And that would be painful and dangerous and even dishonoring. The Lord would have us not to utterly fall, but he would have us to have our strength renewed, to renew our strength. And thank God he's available this morning for you and me, that we might have our strength renewed. You've come maybe from a busy week, and a hard week, and the devil has been giving you a hard time. And maybe your family situation or your work situation or whatever it is in life has been troubling you. And you need strength this morning. We used to say somebody's as weak as water. Maybe that's how you feel this morning, as weak as water. But thank God there's strength available to us when we wrestle against all the wiles of the devil. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strength renewed to serve the Lord with all our hearts. Just in recent Bible studies, I've been listening to Reverend Nelson, of course, whom you know well here, Six Mile Cross, and enjoying his ministry there on Tuesday nights on the very portion we're referring to just now, Ephesians chapter 6. About the armor of God. And how we face all these forces, but the Lord has given us that strength. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then Paul said about prayer. You notice how he finishes that part about the armor. Praying always, he said, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he says, and for me. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And here's the great apostle Paul. He was conscious of his own weakness, of his own frailty. His own feelings, desired prayer that he might have utterance, that he might have power. In the midst of weakness, he might have strength. May God grant it to be so for you and I this morning, even as we meet together here in the Lord's house. But then there's not only the supplication and the strength, but there's the soaring. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, getting back to our text, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Soaring up like the eagle. What a sight to behold. The eagle in flight. Have you ever beheld an eagle in flight? Magnificent sight. Soaring into the heavenlies. Above the earth, it spreads its wings, it takes its flight. It's a majestic, a magnificent sight. The hymn writer penned those words, lift us, Lord, oh, lift us higher. From the carnal mind set free, fill us with refining fire, give us perfect liberty. Oh, that today we might be lifted above this world, above its affections and lusts, unto that higher plane with God, that we might, as Paul said in Colossians 3 and 2, set our affections, or our mind as it is, on things above and not on things of this earth. You see, it's so easy for us to be so taken up with the things of time and sense. And that's detrimental to our communion and fellowship with the Lord. But as our strength is renewed or changed or exchanged, as the thought is, as taking off old clothing and putting on new, we exchange our weakness for his power. His strength. And Paul talked about this. In the midst of weakness himself, in 2 Corinthians 12, the thorn in the flesh, you remember, he spoke about there. And he said, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient for us. And so we can soar above the crisis, above the problems that we have. As we wait before him, God enables us in this situation. In Ephesians 2 and 6, it's a wonderful chapter. This, of course, you will know. Ephesians 2 and 6, it says, and Paul says there, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The place the eagle soars to, the heavenlies. We need to soar there in the spiritual sense this morning. And his strength enables us to do this. Think of the power displayed by the eagle as it spreads its wings. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 11. We read these words. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord, verse 12, alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. And so the spreading of the eagle's wings, the stirring of the eagle's nest, the protection of the eagle's young by her great wings. So the Lord empowers his people to rise above this earth, this world, and all its trials and troubles. And Moses here uses the image of the eagle to illustrate God's care for his people. The eagle destroys the nest and forces the young to fly. And to make sure the young don't fall, the adult birds stay close to the young as they try their wings. Maybe you've saw some pictures about how that takes place. It's wonderful. And oftentimes they will fly beneath them and even carry them in their strong claws. It's a beautiful picture of the difficult process of maturity that God often puts us through, that we might fly or soar into high places. God often stirs the nest, causes us to be forced to fly, to depend upon him, the one who cares for us, the one who protects us, the one who is underneath and round about us. And you know that's so true. Yesterday morning, I got a phone call, trying to get the phone out of my pocket. And there's this woman at the end of the phone. She says, "Alan, I live beside these people. Years when I lived in Belfast, was ministering in Belfast. Kept in touch with them over the years." She said, "My brother was found dead in bed this morning. 54 years of age, I knew him well. Young man, single man. I went to that home yesterday. What sorrow. What pain. What loss." That was one of the verses I quoted to them. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms." My friends, this morning, God, in such certain situations of life, would have us to soar like the eagle, to mount up with wings as eagles. Sometimes he stirs up the nest, as it were, that we might be raised onto a higher plane with him, that we might be brought into heavenly places with our God. That be our experience today. Soar like the eagle. But then I want you to think finally about the stamina. Because it says in our text, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God will cause us by the renewing of our strength to run when the challenges are many. Again, there's the image of the race, and this is used by Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, of course. He talks about the race there. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, and he talks about laying aside every weight. "And the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us." But you'll notice in our text it says, "shall run and not be weary." Now, when you run, you get weary. I don't think I could even try to run from the door of the church out to the car this morning. It's a sign that the birthdays are stocking up, and probably many would find the same difficulty.
although maybe some others are very fit, would be able to do it and not be out of breath. But some of us would be at the point of collapse after a very, very short distance. But this is the inner spiritual strength that is given to the Lord's people as they run the Christian race. We will not be weary when God gives us the strength. When God gives us the stamina that we need. And what strength the Lord gives to his people to run with patience the race that is set before us. To run, as Paul puts it in another place, to obtain the prize. To press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you running the race this morning, Christian? God will give you the stamina to continue and to complete the race. And walk and not faint. That's what our text says. The Lord causes us to walk faithfully in the day-to-day demands of life. It's much harder to walk in the ordinary pressures of life than to fly like an eagle in the time of crisis. William Carey, the founder of modern missions, he said, "This I can plaud." He went on to say, and I quote, "This is my only genius. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything." Walking. And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. You have all this thing today about, I've walked so many steps. And they keep a record on their phone or whatever it is. I'm not into that. I don't keep a record of it anyway. But walking is essential, a Christian. The great heroes of the faith are not only those who seem to be soaring, but they're just patiently plodding. Just going on, a step at a time. Enoch walked with God. That's what the Bible says. He walked with God. And as we wait upon the Lord, men and women, this morning, he enables us not only to fly higher and to run faster, but to walk longer. To walk longer. Blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at their destination. May we endure to the end. Brethren and sisters, endure to the end. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." May his strength be made perfect in our weakness. Here's God's answer to our weakness this morning. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." But maybe you're not saved this morning. You have no experience of God's grace in your life. Let me introduce you to the Lord this morning. He's the only one that can save you. The church can't save you. The Free Presbyterian Church can't save you. Or any church. Or any church ceremony or ritual cannot save. Only Christ can save you. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. And thank God this morning you can be saved. Just where you are. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're not saved this morning, may God save you now. Bless his word our hearts this morning. We're turning to the hymn number 438. 438. "O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He leads you gently with loving hand. Never lose sight of Jesus." 438 on page 353. We'll stand as we sing together.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge of thy word. We thank you too for the comfort of thy word, and how we know that even in our time of greatest weakness, we can lean upon the Lord and we can wait upon him, and our strength can be renewed. We pray that will be so for every believer this morning listening into this service. And we pray for any without Christ that today they might flee from the wrath to come and flee to Christ and trust in the atoning blood of the Lamb. Spread now thy covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, till at our Father's blessed abode all who are saved arrive in peace. For Christ's sake, amen.